application on Saturdays. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Bismillah, words that seekers of sanctuary repeatedly recite. Words that the very cautious in search of protection often repeat. I seek refuge with Allah, the Exalted above all, from the oppression of the unjust, from the deceitful malice the envious use to lay snares and traps, from the injustice and outrage of the tyrants, and I sing his praise. Do better and go beyond other praisers. O Allah, thou art one, has no partner, and is the Lord Master without being made. There is no discrepancy or nonsense in thy commands, nor there is lawlessness in thy kingdom. I beseech thee to send blessings on Muhammad, thy servant, thy messenger. To let me ask thee for enlightenment and inspiration, so as to be thankful for thy bounties, which alone get thy approval ultimately. To help me to obey thee and instinctively worship thee, and make me deserve thy rewards on account of thy very patronage. And have mercy on me, and prevent me from breaking in the bounds of thy prohibitions, as far as I am kept alive, and show the way unto that which is useful and advantageous till I go on survive. To let me take to heart the meanings of thy book, and by its reading, throw down the heavy burden of sins, and receive welfare and salvation as a gift. Let not my family and friends who love me leave me alone. Let thy favors reach me in abundance during the remainder of my life, exactly as they used to be made available for me in full in the days gone by. O the Most Merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers, dear sisters, Salamun Alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special on IRIB English Radio. As I told you, this is today's special, and the topic for this episode is father-daughter relation.
You are a miracle. You are a blessing from above. Joy to my soul and pleasure to my eyes. In my heart I can feel it, an unexplainable feeling. Being a father, the best thing that I could ever ask for. Just thinking of you makes me smile. Holding you, looking in your eyes, I'm so grateful. Pray that you'll find your way. You know I love you. I love you, my little girl.
Today, Friday, is the 3rd of Zilqa'dah, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 13th of Khordad, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 3rd of June, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is chapter An-Nahl, verses 58 to 59.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وإذا بشر أحدهم بالأنثى ظل وجهه مسودا وهو كظيم.
And when one of them is informed of the birth of a female, his face becomes dark and he suppresses grief. He hides himself from the people because of the ill of which he has been informed. Should he keep it in humiliation or bury it in the ground? Unquestionably, evil is what they decide.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
In a tradition from the Prophet of Islam, Muhammad al-Mustafa, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, we read that he says, "What a nice child a person's daughter is. She is affectionate and of a great help. She is one's companion and she is clean while cleaning at the same time." In fact, such respect shown towards the personality of women has served as a cause for their liberation in the society and has put an end to the era of servitude and slavery of women. However, if it is unfortunate that in some Islamic societies there are still those forms of ignorant thought prevalent, and there are still a good number of families who rejoice in having sons born to them and are disturbed by having daughters. Father-daughter relation. This is the topic of this episode. Your relationship with your daughter teaches her what value she has as a person. Her identity and self-worth develops from how you interact with her. When you neglect her, she learns to neglect herself. If you abuse her, she will learn to take abuse or become abusive. If you respect her, she will learn to respect herself and others. The way you relate with her will determine how she will relate with others and what kind of family life she will create for herself in the future. Seemingly unimportant chores are extremely valuable in teaching children the basic lessons of sharing, compromising, cooperating, respect and responsibility. Your attitude toward everything you do is a loud and clear message to your children. Sometimes she can do things that she may think are boring, and sometimes you will do things that you are not interested in. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to talk about relations between fathers and their daughters. In order to withstand those sinister forces and those unwelcome trends that are unfortunately quite prevalent in our communities, I mean, no matter where we are living, I mean, in any community, we may find many instances of such unfavorable and quite sinister and shocking relations. In order to withstand this torrent of destruction, moral destruction, it's one of the jobs and one of the simple ways that fathers may initiate in order to to oppose and in order to nullify the conspiracies, or the moral conspiracies or educational conspiracies and crises, is by simply by giving extra attention to their own daughters. In this way, we hope that the later on generations will come up with, later on generations will come up with a better future. Also, in this connection, it must be indicated that from the ages 3 to 5 years old, daughters need the attention of their fathers. And at the same time, find that at this age, fathers are expected to be very much attentive to the fathers. Well, later on, when their daughters, go to school, fathers are expected to show more attention and more sincerity to their daughters. And by and large, through following this trend of giving attention, the right attention, giving the right directions to the daughters, we hope that, inshallah, we will come up with a good and acceptable and favorable community in the future. Thank you.
IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible.
فجرا جئت بعد العسر يسرا ربنا أعلاك قدرا يا إمام.
All in all, in today's special IRIB English Radio.
This part is a special for fathers. Fathers, listen. What you need to know about raising daughters. Be the best example of a man you can be. Why? Well, besides the obvious, you'll be accountable for your actions. Your daughter will almost certainly use you as her standard when deciding on her future husband. As her father, you are the first man to whom she develops an attachment, whether the conditions of that attachment are healthy or not. Her expectations of a man will be affected by the way you treat her, her mother and others, the way you deal with emotions, your work ethic, and so on. The Messenger of Allah says the leader of the Prophet is the guardian and is responsible for his subjects. A man is the guardian of his family and he's responsible for them.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran.
شكراً يا ربي شكراً هديت قلبي شكراً نورت دربي شكراً شكراً يا ربي.
Daughters, 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 listen to this part carefully. A father helps his daughter overcome insecurities. A father makes his daughter feel like the most beautiful person in the world. You may not be perfect, but you will always be the perfect girl to your father. He helps his daughter overcome insecurities and imperfections. A father helps his daughter avoid toxic relationships in her life. Yes, a father who is compassionate, supportive, and respectful helps his daughter avoid toxic relationships in her life. He sets the ground for how she will be treated by others, especially men.
When it comes to kissing, Rasulullah says, and what the hadith mentions, that every time you kiss your child, your son or daughter, Allah grants you a house in paradise.
Wow.
So Rasulullah used to kiss his daughter, Fatima alayha afdal as-salatu was-salam, every day. Every day he would go visit her, kiss her forehead, kiss her chest, kiss her hand.
To that extent.
To that extent. Stand up for her, show her respect. He would stand up, kiss her hand, tell her to sit in his chair.
Wow.
In his position, and then he would sit next to her, smiling in her face, you know, having a pleasant time with her. This is why she was so in love with her father. This is why when he passed, she couldn't stop crying. She couldn't stop shedding tears, because he was the greatest father that a girl could have.
Wow.
So he showed her her love and affection. That's what you need to show. This is your duty as a father. As a father to a son, maybe you need to show him strength. You need to tell him to start doing push-ups when he's, you know, 9, 10.
Yeah.
Show him that strength. Teach him how to, you know, go sell something, buy something, put him in the shop. Teach him how commerce is made. As your job, as a father of
a
girl.
To raise a man.
When you're raising a queen, you need to show her love and affection. And if you don't, this is a lot of parents, you know, in our communities. They wonder why their girls, you know, start speaking to boys at an early age. Or why did this happen? Why did that happen? It's because you were never there.
Yeah.
You as a father, you're never there.
Mm-hmm.
Show people that she means the most to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that will show her what you mean, what mm-hmm. she means to you.
That was interesting topic, the topic of father-daughter relationship. So, inshallah, we continue that. Till another episode of today's special, we leave you under Allah's protection. Have a nice time.
Crazy, who you're praying for? They told me there is nothing who you're looking for. Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were locked, yes, I was mesmerized. But deep inside I know that there's a better world. Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
Food for thought.
Hello dear friends, and since we're still basking in the birthday anniversary celebrations of our innocent lady of Qom, Hazrat Fatimah Ma'sumah, peace be upon her, the daughter of the Holy Prophet's seventh infallible successor, Imam Musa Kazim, peace be upon him, let us listen to a saying in her honour by her nephew, Imam Muhammad Al-Taghi Al-Jawad, peace be upon him. Whoever visits the tomb of my aunt in Qom, aware of her status, will be granted paradise by God Almighty.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very noble tradition and hadith, which has been narrated from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. This hadith is regarding the characteristics and the noble traits of the Shia and the followers of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. You know, a lot of us consider ourselves Shia, but we don't really know what Shia are and how they should be. If we were to know the characteristics of the Shia, you know, as they have been narrated in the traditions of the Ahlul Bayt, we might not consider ourselves to be really be Shia. In this tradition, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam once asked a man about his tribe and brothers, meaning his Shia brothers, whom he had left back at home. When the Imam asked this person this, the latter, meaning this person, replied by praising them and attesting to their integrity and extolling them. Meaning this person said, yes, my brothers back home and in my tribe, they're great people, they're Shia, they love you, they're your followers. You know, I attest to their integrity, their sincerity with you. The Imam said, oh, really? The Imam asked him the following. He said, do the rich among them visit the poor when they are ill? So those brothers that you're talking about, those Shia brothers who are rich, you know, who are rich and have a lot of wealth, when they hear that a poor Shia is ill and sick, does this person go and visit him or not? Or did he just sit home? Is he afraid that if he visits this poor Shia who's ill, the poor person will ask him for money and then he'll have be forced to give him money for his, you know, to get better, to go buy money, to go buy his medicine or not? When the Imam asked this person this, he replied in the following way. Not much, meaning our rich don't really visit the ill who are poor when they are ill. Then the Imam said, do the rich frequent the poor at all? Meaning not even when they're poor, well, not even when they're ill, but do they at least go and visit them, you know, when they're healthy? The Imam replied, no, not much. So the Imam asked, then do the rich maintain relations with the poor? Okay, they don't go visit them, but do they at least, you know, say salam to them when they pass them on the street, say hello to them, you know, send them something to eat every now and then, you know, ask about their welfare? If they don't even go visit them, do they at least maintain some sort of relation with the poor or not? The man replied, verily, you are listing virtues that people amongst us rarely possess. You know, in my tribe, rich people, even if they're Shia, they don't possess such characteristics, such virtues. The Imam replied in the following way when he heard this. فَكَيْفَ تَزْعُمُ هَاُولَاءِ أَنَّهُمْ شِيَةٌ. How is it possible for these people to assume and to claim that they are Shia and they are followers of the Imam alayhi salam? Right? These people do not possess the virtues that the Shia should possess. So how could they claim to be our Shias and our followers? These are the characteristics of the Imams alayhi wasalam. They would go visit the poor, their poor followers, and visit them and inquire about them and maintain relations with them. If we do not do the same, how can we be claimed to be followers of the Imams? Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the characteristics of the Shia in the words of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه.
So far we have learned two of the important letters, yes?
Yes.
So let me say that welcome back everyone, respected brothers and sisters, thanks for being with us. So let's continue with the letters. Tha, ha. Let's make some examples with these two letters to practice them. Then we'll go to the letter dhal.
Yes.
So everyone, try saying the word kawthar.
Kawthar.
That's great. Kawthar. Thumma.
Thumma.
Thalath.
Thalath.
Thalath. That's great. That's great. So the letter ha. Alhamdu.
Alhamdu.
If you learn how to recite Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim correctly, that's enough. That's a good example.
Yes.
So, can you say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
MashaAllah, Fawad Haider.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
MashaAllah, Hussein Ruhullah.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
MashaAllah, Hussein Musa.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. The ha is very clear, yes? The sound of ha.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Ha. That is the sound. That's great. So, the letter Dhal. How to say the letter dhal? Okay?
So, dhal. You just say th, bite your tongue, bite the tip of your tongue and blow air. But with it, add some voice. Like you just say like when you
vibrating sound.
Vibrating sound, yes.
That's good. That's
when
good.
You say th, you just blow.
Okay.
But when you say th, you just blow and vibrate a little.
Okay.
Like,
does it have an a sound or an a sound?
No, it's an a sound.
Oh, okay. So there are many to understand. So can you say now how to do it?
We will put our tip of tongue on front of our teeth and we will vibrate our
the sound.
Yeah,
that's good.
Instead of blowing air, you can vibrate.
Vibrate the sound. And for example, you say the letter Z with a vibrating sound.
Yeah.
Yes?
Yes.
Yes. That's good. Fawad Haider, can you produce the sound?
Z.
Now bite your tongue and say Z.
Z.
Ah, that's very easy, alhamdulillah. It is the same as the letter Tha. In the letter Tha, instead of, instead of saying S, you change the sound of S to a Th sound, yes?
Yes.
In the letter Dhal, you change the sound of the letter Z in English to what? A vibrating Z sound. Th. Th. So, can you say the word? Oh, let me repeat this for our brothers and sisters. So, if you want to produce the sound of
the correct sound of the letter the. So try to bring your tongue forward. Let it touch the tip of your front upper teeth. You don't need to bite it, okay? Because if you bite it, it's dangerous, okay? You'll cut the tongue sometimes. You'll hurt yourself, okay? I had one student, okay? He was, like, doing it. I was like, it's difficult, okay? Like, he's hurting himself. The tongue became red, okay?
Yeah.
So he hurt himself. So be careful. Just let it touch the tip of your front upper teeth. The tongue comes a little out, okay? A little it comes out. The vibrating sound.
Yes.
Okay? Thal. So, try saying the word zoo. Zoo, everyone?
Zoo.
Zoo. Now, bite your tongue and say zoo.
Zoo.
Zoo, that's good. Zero.
Zero.
Now say it.
Zero.
Zero.
Zero. Zero.
Okay. Now zebra.
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 Okay. Now say.
Zebra.
Okay. Now zigzag.
Zigzag.
Say it now.
Zigzag.
Zigzag. That's good. Let's say some Arabic words. Okay. Try saying the word. Thalika.
Thalika.
Alladhina.
Alladhina.
Hada.
Hada.
Dhikrura.
Dhikrura.
Dhikr.
Zikr.
Zikr.
That's Zikr.
So alhamdulillah, it's done. It's done. The letter tha, ha, and thal. Remember, there are eight letters that kind of the articulation points are very important. Eight letters. So far you've learned three of them. Yes?
Yes.
Do you have any
yes.
question with them?
No.
Is there any question?
No.
No. No, okay. So let's go to the next letter. What is after thal?
Ra.
Ra. Ra has an attribute which is like called tafkhimur ra, okay? Or like it has an elevating sound. It wants to go up. Yeah?
Bold it? Ra.
Yeah, kind of bold it, but not always. So it's conditional, okay? Ra, za, sin, shin, ah. The next letter is important. Say it.
Sad.
Sad. Sad is important, okay? Sad. Sad. So how do you say the letter sad? Who can say it?
Sad.
You put your tongue back of your teeth and okay. make a upgoing frequency sound.
Okay. Sod. That's good. That's good. That's good. That's kind of correct, yes? So, what do you think? Sod.
Sod.
So, is it the same for you?
Like, how could I say it? It's just say seen,
uh-huh.
but, like, close your mouth a little bit. Like, when you say like look, when you say when you open your mouth it will be seen, but when you close it will be sod.
Oh, and make it make an aw sound, right?
Make an aw sound.
Oh, okay.
Sod.
Say the letter seen.
Seen.
Now say sad.
Sad.
Are you sad?
No.
Okay. Say the word sad in English that we have. Say it with an aw sound.
Sod.
Sod.
Are you sod?
Sod.
Sod.
Are you sad or sod?
Sod.
Okay. Sod. That is the name of the letter, and that is the sound of this letter.
Yeah.
So remember the word sad. Alhamdulillah, we are not sad. That's why we say it's sad.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Sad, sad. So it is just about the awesome sound, the aw sound that it has. Okay. If you produce the aw sound, the letter sod will be produced, I mean, pronounced correctly.
Let's recite the Quran.
بِاسْمِ رَبِّكَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ.
So, seen has a light sound, seen, it's simple, the same as S, but sod is not the same as S, yes? So how do you say it? One more time, Ruhullah, say it.
Sod.
Sod, that's nice. Sod, you?
Sod.
Sod, sod. Kind of, you need to kind of curve your tongue as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sod. Remember that, like I said, pumping that ball, okay?
Yeah.
That is the letter sod.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's say some like Arabic words.
So can you say an Arabic word having a sad?
Sirat.
What?
Sirat.
Okay, let's practice it. Say it louder, we will repeat after you.
Sirat.
Everyone?
Sirat.
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 That's great. Sirat.
Sirat.
So one more word you can say having a sad?
Salat.
Salat. That's great. Salat. That's nice.
Salat.
Any other word? أليس الصبح بقريب؟
صبح.
Okay. Next one. يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي.
أيها الذين.
You can recite this ayah. Can you recite?
Yeah.
Or recite it?
صلوا.
No. صوموا.
صوموا. Yes.
صوموا.
صوموا. صيام. كتب عليكم الصيام.
Yes.
Okay, recite the ayah.
Inna Allaha ma malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi.
Ahsan.
Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. So, yusalluna. Yes?
Yes.
Sallu wa sallimu, that's seen. Yeah, do not get it wrong, okay? إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا سين تسليما right
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
So far, alhamdulillah, these letters have been really easy for us, okay? But the next letter is much more difficult because it doesn't exist in English. What is the next letter for what? After Sad?
Dad.
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 Hussein Musa, can you say how to do it? You've been a good teacher.
So you close your teeth and then push your tongue towards it.
You close
it.
Your teeth. Can you open it again?
Dad. Oh, look. First, like, you close your teeth.
Okay.
And, push your tongue, like, in the middle of your teeth, just push it, and okay. Then, I don't know.
Make an awesome.
Yeah.
That's it.
Right.
Okay. So, for what?
He means pushing your tongue towards the teeth, and then making an awesome sound.
Bod, this way?
Yeah, making a zaw sound before it. And pushing your tongue towards the teeth and making an aw sound.
Okay, good, good. So if you take a look at your mouth, I mean, you cannot look at it, okay? But look.
Sensory,
yeah. Just look at it, okay? There is up at the back of your front upper teeth, there is like a gum area.
Yeah.
Like a gum area, yes? So that gum area is actually the articulation point of the letter dot. Oh. Put your tongue, with the tip of your tongue, okay?
Bod.
Press it.
Bod.
Dot.
Bod. Make a D sound.
Yeah.
D but with an O sound. Dod.
Bod.
Dod. But like it has to have like a vibrating sound as well. Dod. 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 Okay? So there are three things. Fawad Haider. One. Like the D sound, the next one, the O sound. And like a little vibrating sound. Dod, dod, dod. You can produce the sound also by the edge of your tongue. The edge of your tongue must touch this back teeth. Dod, 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 dod. They're the same. But I think if you use the tip of your tongue and like the front part of your mouth, it's easier. Dod, dod,
yes.
Good. So everyone say dod,
dod,
dod. That's nice. So now let's make some Arabic words, yes? So who can say? Hussain Ruhullah, can you say?
Dallin.
Dallin. That's nice. Everyone repeat after Hussain Ruhullah.
Dallin.
Dallin. That's nice. Next word.
Maghdub.
In Surah Al-Hamd.
مغضوب.
Remember that it has a sound between the letter D and the letter Z. DZ, yeah. Between them, okay? It means combination of D and Z.
Yeah.
Dod.
That's
it. Yes. But an odd. Okay? غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. Recite.
غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
All of you, okay? Louder. غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Thank you so much. That is the letter of Dot. So inshallah, we will take a break and we will come back. But we really give thanks to IRIB English Radio and also Sevier International Schools Network. So we will recite a salawat, inshallah, and we will be back. Stay with us.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools.
وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان
Quran Quest, yes please.
قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي آيات الله حمدتني غمرتني بالبركة
Quran Quest, answering your Quranic questions.
الشيطان ومن زلاتي
آيات الله حمدتني غمرتني بالبركات تحفظني من همزات الشيطان ومن زلاتي
قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد To all our brothers and sisters out there, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are listening to IRIB English Radio broadcasting from Iran. The program is Quran Quest, where we study the verses of the Quran to learn from it. And to help us with that, we have our dear and beloved, always energetic, always helpful, so beautiful and nice, Brother Habib. Sheikh Habib, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you for coming over.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
So we are studying the verses of chapter 78 of the Quran together, and today we arrive on verse 17 of this chapter. Let's listen to these few verses and we'll be back for the discussion.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeeb. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
Inna yawmal fasli kana miqata.
Indeed, the day of judgment is an appointed time.
Yawma yunfakhu fis-suri fata'tuna afwaja.
The day the horn is blown, and you will come forth in multitudes.
وفتحت السماء فكانت أبوابا.
And the heaven is opened and will become gateways.
وسيرت الجبال فكانت سرابا.
And the mountains are removed and will be but a mirage.
So you just listened to verses 17 onwards from chapter 78 of the Quran here on Quran Quest from iRib English Radio. Now, so God first starts by this kind of thread that the people have a doubt about something, a great tiding, which could be either the Day of Judgment or it could be Wilayat Amir al-Mu'mineen, according to the two interpretations you gave us. Then he goes on to give us a sample of some of the great blessings that he has given us and demonstrate how this is a platform for us to reach perfection. And also his capability, his power and strength, so that we don't doubt whether God can actually do the things that he promises or not. On verse 17, God starts like this: truly the day of division is a moment appointed. To be honest, it raises my hair, gives me the goosebumps when I get to these verses.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Now, and any interpretation you took from the beginning of the verses till now, it doesn't matter. The day of judgment is going to come. During this day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to finally show what is the reality, where have we gone wrong as humanity. And it's a day that's going to come. It's a day that has been waiting for us. We're not waiting for it. We're running away from it, actually, as much as we can, either by denial or by not doing our actions correctly. Or wishing we won't reach that day. But at the end of the day, we are unpowerful. We are not powerful enough to stop that day from arriving. And it's going to come. And Hussein, when it comes, it's going to come.
And it says that it's a day of division. Division between who and who?
See, on the Day of Judgment, there are going to be three stances. Of course, this should be thoroughly studied through Surah Al-Mursalat, through Surah Al-Rahman, various chapters in the Holy Quran and the sayings of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam can reach to this point to understand how we are going to be divided on the Day of Judgment. There's going to be the people who are hungry on the Day of Judgment. When we exit our graves, for example, how long is going to take for everyone to come back to life? That's one question you should ask yourself. Imagine yourself coming back to life. When you come back to life, where are your clothes? You need food. You're human. You're still in your body form. You still need food. That is why the hunger of the Day of Judgment is something very big. Something that we should emphasize on. We should have emphasized on during the month of Shahr Ramadan, the month of Ramadan. So at the end of the day, in a summary, in a brief, there are going to be three kinds of people. The people who are disbelievers, the people who are believers, and al-mustadhaf.
The people who did not have the ability to discern the truth from the false.
Yes.
All right, we're going to take a short break now. Don't go away. We'll continue our discussion right after the break.
إن سألتم عن الله فهو رحمن رحيم أنزل الشارع حنيفا رحمة للعالمين رحمة للعالمين.
This is Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio. It's a program that attempts to answer your questions pertaining to the Noble Quran. We'd be delighted to have your comments about the program. Just search Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio.
If you ask me who my God is, on whose name I call, if you ask me who my God is, He's the God of us all, Allah the Merciful. If you ask me what my book is that I hold in my hand, if you ask me what my book is, it's the Holy Quran, the Holy Quran.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest, and we are on verse 17 of chapter 78. Truly, the day of division is a moment appointed. So the day of division is when it's a distinction between the good people and the bad people. It also says that it's a moment appointed. What are we supposed to understand from that?
Appointed, you should understand that it's something that's going to happen. We talked about that before the break. It's something that's going to come. There's no running away from it. Other than that, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's in His knowledge then when it's going to happen, when it's going to fall upon us. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appoints a specific time, it means He has some kind of wisdom towards it. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not do it, you know, out of, you know, like, how do I
play.
Put it? Like, not only play, but like out of coincidence. Or rather, He has some kind of wisdom behind it. That's something you could just ponder upon more.
And the next verse says, a day when the trumpet is blown and you come forth in throngs. Now, throngs can also be translated as groups, I guess. And what kind of groups are we going to be taken? I mean, am I going to be taken by my citizenship, by my faith, by where I was born, by my skin color?
Now, just to be clear, before we took the break, I thought I was answering this question. When you said the day of, you know, that separation, I think that Yom al-Fasl, al-Fasl in the Arabic language means, this is just to correct it, al-Fasl means to divide right from wrong.
Mm-hmm.
On that day, you will understand what is right and what is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And you will be punished or rewarded depending on your actions that you took. Things that you were indifferent about, on that day you will be, you know, not only will you understand, you will see the effects of your actions, of your beliefs. And of course, the groups is going to be like the one that I explained, because I thought it was the question, that we come into groups depending on our belief, on our belief system.
So you mean that, so we will be taken in the group of Muslims?
Believers.
Of course.
That's very nice you said it out there, because we believe, as the Quran stated, that Moses and his people were Muslims. Abraham and his followers were Muslims. Jesus Christ and his followers were Muslims. Because the meaning of Muslim is submission. So the meaning of Muslim or Islam is actually istislam, submission towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abraham, Noah, Jesus, Moses, all of them submitted towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So has the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So have we, inshaAllah ta'ala. So we are Muslims in this sense.
And the next verse says, and the sky is opened as if it were gates. This is quite a frightening scene here.
Yeah.
It's quite something, right, isn't it?
In this situation, you don't know how to kind of design it in your mind the correct way to understand how the gates of the heavens will open, how the skies will open, and what's behind the doors, for God's sakes. So that's kind of, you know, just kind of showing you the intensity of that day.
Verse 20 reads, and the mountains are set in motion as if they were a mirage. Interesting. In several parts, several verses of the Quran, it talks about how on the day of judgment, before it comes, it sets, mountains start moving.
Have you seen mountains from the top of a mountain?
Pictures of them.
You've seen pictures of them. Imagine those moving around, shaking, these gigantic things. When you see a building shaking, you feel fear.
Mm-hmm.
In your own eyes, right? Mm-hmm. But how about a mountain? A mountain shaking and moving and turning into dust because of the Earth's equators and whatnot, or whatever reason, physical reasons that they are, that you see them that as if they are moving around and walking around.
Mm-hmm.
That's a scary scene.
We're going to have to take a break here, but then we will come back for the rest of the discussion. Don't go away.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest, and we are studying the verses of the Quran of chapter 78. Now, at the beginning of this program, we started with, truly the day of division is a moment appointed, and I told you about how it gave me goosebumps. Now, verse 21 is even more fearsome. It's, truly hell lies in ambush, a place unto which the rebellious return. Hell lies in ambush.
No, I'm going to leave it out for the next for the next show, inshallah ta'ala. There's this concept of, you know, listening to Quran instead of listening to music to calm you down. When you read these verses, you don't feel calm. You feel afraid, right? So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after showing that the Day of Judgment is going to happen, all right, what's going to happen on the Day of Judgment? Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts to put it out that we have the people who are going to enter hellfire and we have people who are going to enter paradise. Keeping in mind that there are people who enter hellfire, but they will exit out hellfire and then re-enter heaven. But after what? After like 3,360,000 years of agony and pain in hell, then they're going to be back in heaven. And that is a Jahannamiyun, some sayings, right? The people of a Jahannamiyun is a terminology used in the prophetic sayings that the people who enter hell yet exit hell with the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So before going into this, I think that this, when we start to talk about hell, needs a separate show. I just want to emphasize on this. The fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we saw the last chapter available in the 30th part of the Holy Quran. It's the first one, the last one for us, because we're going backwards.
Came from back, yeah.
And we're not going to be talking more, we're going to be talking less about the signs of, you know, the Day of Judgment, a little bit more, less and less as we keep on going forward. But I want to point this out, that why has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us so much about this day and gave us so many examples about how it's going to go down and emphasized on this? It's really just to show you that power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first and most importantly, that He is all capable. He is the one that placed these laws. And all these laws of physics that we see are going to break. All of them are going to break. Now, one of the, like, for example, I'm bringing this up, it might be controversial to some, but for example, a knife cutting. Can you imagine this knife, with its sharpness, cutting the same meat that it usually cuts, but it won't cut anymore?
Failing to cut.
Why does it cut? The only reason it cuts is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it this power. Other than that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can change it. He is the Almighty, All-Capable. Some people might see this very confusing, especially those who've entered a lot into philosophy and, you know, try to philosophize it and whatever. But what I want to say here is that most importantly, we have to understand that we are living in Allah under the power and the, like an Arabic sultan, the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all capable of changing the command, and He will change it. See, all these natural things are going to change.
Just last question, let's squeeze this in. When God is saying that in Quran, hell lies in ambush, is it pointing out to evildoers living a whole life in denial of hellfire, and now they're dead, and well, here it is. What they denied, what they couldn't see, is right there in front of them, hell.
To some extent, yes, but there's a deeper answer to this.
Okay, thank you very much. That was Brother Habib, and we are Quran Quest. You are listening to us on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. If you missed our program, don't worry. You can always download an episode from our website. Simply search IRIB English Radio, Quran Quest. Until next episode, remember that the Quran is a book to ponder upon. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
إن هذا القرآن